I'm Richard Gall. My age is I'm 85, and my hometown is Scotland, South Dakota.
Okay, so you've lived here all of your life.
I used to be a farmer, but I lived around Scotland.
Okay,
Yeah.
great. And I wanted to also thank you for your service to our nation during World War II. If you could please give me your branch of service, your rank, and the unit you served with.
I was in the Marine Corps, and I served in the M overseas. When I should, how should I go about this now? I mean, I was enlisted in March of 43,
Okay,
and
and
I went to San Diego, California for my basic training, and then from there I went to Hawthorne, Nevada, and served 14 months there as guard duty. I worked, walked guard amongst the officers' quarters, punching the clock, you know, for, and then after I served there, I went overseas, and I joined the 3rd Amphibious Tank Corps over in the island of Pulu. That's where we done our training. It was an amphibious tank. We had a group there, about 560 men, and when on July the 13th and 44, that's when we formed our group of tanks, and then we trained for a month and a half, and then on D-Day, September 15th in 44, we went and invaded the island of Peleliu, and with our tanks, we were the first wave, and the infantry followed us in, and we landed, and on the first day we had about 200 yards beach. We penetrated the beach about 200 yards the first day. That's all we had, you know. And we lost, the first day we had about 46 tanks that were operating out of 75 of them. The rest were all damaged through the battle. We had to go through a lot of bullets and firepower to make the landing. And then we were there about 2 months. We went back to Peleliu. Then we got better equipment. Then we went back in April, I think, April in 45, we went back to land on Okinawa. We did the same thing there. We went in with the first wave, and the infantry followed. But that was a walk-in for us. We had no opposition. We went in and landed, and we actually, all we did is mostly followed the infantry as artillery deals, you know, with our tanks. So they all talk about Okinawa being it was rough, you know, going when you once, but for the landing part, it was a walk-on for us. There was nothing to it, you know.
Well, let me back you up just a little bit, if I could, please, Mr. Gall. And you said that you've lived in Scotland almost your entire life, is that right? Grew up here and.
Well, I grew up on the farm south of Scotland here, yeah.
And so you were living on the farm when the war started?
No.
Tell me about that then, please.
I was in Freeport, Illinois, where I was drafted.
Oh, so you were drafted, and so when.
I was drafted in Freeport, Illinois, and I went to Chicago. It got me in there. I could go to any service I wanted, if I was the Army, Navy, or the Marines. So I chose the Marines.
Any particular reason why you chose the Marines?
Well, yes, I guess when I was a small youngster, I used to see these guys walk around with them uniforms, Marine uniforms, and that kind of impressed me. So I thought, well, maybe there's a chance I can wear one.
Did you ever wish afterward that maybe you'd chosen another branch of the military?
Well, I think I wish I would have some. I wish I'd have stayed with the Navy.
Did you have friends in the Navy?
No, well, I had a brother in the Navy.
Okay, well, let's talk about your family just a little bit then. How many brothers, sisters? What was your family life like before the war?
Well, before the war, we had 11 of children, 7 boys and 3-4 girls. I mean, yeah. And I had a brother in the Army when I was in. I had a brother in the Navy, and I had another brother in the Army. Well, they were in the Korean War then. When I come home, they went into Korea, but I had 5 brothers. We were 5 brothers in the service.
In different branches of the service?
Yeah, different branches, yeah.
Okay. How old were you when you were drafted?
When I was drafted? Yeah, I was 21.
Was that before or after Pearl Harbor?
After Pearl Harbor. Okay. I was drafted, yeah.
So where were you then when Pearl Harbor happened? And do you remember what that was
I
like?
I was working on a farm in Freeport, Illinois, as a farm laborer at that time.
That's why you were there then when you were drafted?
Well, not really. I was working in a battery factory in Freeport at the time I was drafted. I quit working working in the factory there.
Was working in the factory better than working on the farm?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, it wasn't that hard. I mean, it was easier work, and I enjoyed it.
What kind of an effect did the beginning of the war have on your family? You said there were 11 of you children on the farm, and so how did that change life for your parents with 5 of you boys in the service?
I guess it wasn't very easy for my mother anyhow. She always wanted letters from us, and I tried to write as much as I could, but when I got a letter from her, she always said I had too much stuff cut taken out. What I wrote in there, I shouldn't have wrote, you know, but I didn't have nothing else more to write what was going on. And I guess they didn't want that information to come out. You know?
So your letters
I was censored. My letters were really censored, yeah.
So they had somebody who did that to everyone's letters or just people in specific places?
I think they did with everybody, I mean, that wrote letters.
So your poor mom didn't get...
Well, a lot of times she had a lot of... You know,
she didn't have much of a letter to read by the time they got done with it,
right.
It sounds like.
Yeah, she had to guess what's going on, or I don't know.
When you think about those experiences during the war, are there one or two things that you experienced that stand out more than others, and would you be willing to talk about those?
We had some of them battles we had, you know. We had a fall of infantry, and it got pretty tough once in a while, you know, and you lost a few people next to you. I was very fortunate. I never even got a Purple Heart, you know. I was unlucky, man. Yeah. And our, you know, tanks, they weren't very bulletproof. They were pretty skimpy because they floated on water. You know, they went, they're amphibious, so... anything powerful could penetrate them, you know. And otherwise, I don't know. Everything went pretty smooth, mm-hmm. You know, otherwise, you know. I get along with most everybody.
What was it like to be on the water in a tank?
Oh, that's an awesome feeling, you know. I remember when they left us off that morning, off to the LSTs, put our tank into the water. I wasn't the driver. I was one of the machine gunners on the tank. You just looked in there to the all that was going on. You just wondered what's going to happen when you get there, or if you're going to get there. It's a scary feeling, really. I mean, I don't know how they're going to explain it, but it's terrifying almost, you know. Especially when you've seen some urine tanks alongside you get blown out of the water. It was really scary. The first in there, make our first night in the coral rock, you know, it's pretty hard to take a trench, you know, to lay in during night, you know, almost didn't have any. Yeah. And then we, in 3 days, we usually, they had a kitchen set up, so we could go back and get something to eat, you know. We didn't have to live on K rations. So.
Can you tell me what it was like to eat K rations?
They weren't very good. I mean,
it was food.
Spam, yeah.
Spam? They had spam?
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah.
The government's idea of good food, I
yeah.
guess.
Just to get along. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Are there experiences from the war that were fun or funny, things that made the hard experiences more bearable?
No, we you know, for entertainment, that we had, you know, we didn't really have that much that anybody come to our island that performed or gave us anything to watch. It was pretty simple there. We just played ball and kind of kept busy doing, you know, what you had.
So you didn't ever get to see Bob Hope or
no,
any of those
no,
folks?
No, no.
Do you think that the war changed you as a person, and if so, how did it make you different?
I guess it changed me, you know. I wasn't, you know, just gung-ho anymore, you know. I'd like to get into trouble when I was single, and I learned not to anymore.
Were you married when you left to
no.
go? So you got married after you came home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were ready to settle down by the time you got back to the
yeah,
United States?
Yeah, that's right.
You said that you were drafted after the attack on Pearl Harbor. You were living in Illinois. What did you think when you were shipped out that you were fighting for? What were the things that you believed were at stake in the war?
Well, there was that war going over in Europe, you know, and you just, when the chaps attacked Pearl Harbor, I thought to myself, I think we got to do something or somebody's going to, you know, we're going to lose our freedom. And that's what I took the idea that I got to do my duty when I drafted. And there's a lot of things in boot camp I didn't like, but you had a dorm, because you were you was only a little private, and you had.
Was boot camp pretty awful?
Boot camp was really, really tough. I thought that was one of my tough trainings. They made you do things that endured. You know, you really had to have stamina to keep up. You know, and a lot of them didn't make it, or they just fell back. If you made a mistake, they really punished you for it. I mean, it maybe wasn't your mistake, but everybody had to take the same punishment as somebody, you know. If somebody done something stupid or wrong, then the whole company would have to, they'd make you go out and drill.
Can you give me an example of one of the dumbest things you saw somebody do during boot camp?
Well, I started a fire in the waste paper basket, I guess. That was the
in the barracks.
Yeah, in the barracks. And we paid for that time. We had to get out. Everybody had to get out and put a bucket over his head. And we drilled, marched us back and forth with in the dark, you know. You know how a drill ago, you go back and, you know, drill. And you bucket over your head. You don't see nothing. And you bang against. That's some of the deals they pulled on your basic training to
Did it help develop your sense of direction?
Yeah. No, it didn't. It made it worse.
I just couldn't imagine. Now, you said that you were never wounded, but did you ever have friends who were wounded or killed that, you know, you lost from your unit or people that you got to know in other contexts while you were in the war?
I knew a few of them, yeah, over there that I was in boot camp with that were killed over there. Yeah, that was the hardest, you know. Yeah, and a couple of wounded ones. Yeah.
So you served in the South Pacific, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At what, can you remember what it was, you know, what it was like, the sounds and the smells of the places where you were there? Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, like the, over there, we, the island we Puhu, that was mostly coconut trees. We, you know, it smelled like a lot of coconut, and we didn't have no native people in there. It was nobody living on the islands. It was just one of those deals that we didn't have no contact with no native people. So we're just isolated out there. And I think the most thrilling, I mean, the most exciting part of it, I mean, what I liked most about the battle of it, when Japanese planes come over to bomb our ships and stuff like that, when they put their spotlights on them. And then I met every, it seems like every gun or whatever was available took aim at the planes coming over, and it was just like a big fireworks. The sky just lit up bright, and just all tracers that went up, it was just awesome, and all the bang and all the noises. Just, if you've been in a big fireworks, you know, this is even a lot better. I mean, it just, you just can't imagine how much firepower they put up there, you know. And it was great that I wasn't up there getting shot at.
Oh, so you were on the ground.
Yeah, I was on the ground.
Were you one of the people, now the guns were firing back and forth, they were on the planes and the ships?
Yeah.
And you were not on any
no,
of those,
I
you
wasn't
simply were watching.
Yeah, I was on the artillery and aircraft guns on shore. They were shooting, you know. That I was among them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we never shot at them because our what we had couldn't reach that high, you know. So all the artillery shells and all the ships out there that were anchored out there, they put on the fireworks, you know. You can't believe. That really impressed me, you know, that how much firepower we had out there. Yeah.
Did they ever bring down any planes
you
could see?
Oh, yeah.
What was
I
that
seen
like?
I seen them come down and hit a battleship. They're suicide planes. They come in and they hit a few of them. And I had a lot of these big battleships with their big artillery shoot across you when we were on the ground. That was quite a concussion, you know. You could hear it when they shot, and then it went over you. When it went over you, it was another bang, and then there was three explosions, actually, from them big guns, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So did the war change anything about you as far as what you wanted to do once you came back to the United States? Were you ever at one point thinking, if I get out of this alive, I'm going to do this when I get back?
No, I really didn't. I was just hoping I was going to get home alive. That's my main purpose. From then on, I had no idea what I was going to do. I kind of figured I'd go back to farming. Yeah.
And that is what you did when you came
home?
Yeah,
that's what I did. I come home and rented some land, went to farming, and then got married and raised my family. Yeah.
How much did you tell your wife once you were married about your experiences in the war? Did you talk about it with her once you got home at
all? Not much at all. I mean, even my children, I haven't really said much about it. They're always after me. And I maybe someday I'll make a recording or something.
Like this one. I do want to ask you a question. You said there were five of you brothers in the war in different branches of the military. Did you all make it home?
They all come home. They all come home, yeah.